We'll see how much my voice allows me to go today. I had to cancel drush on Shabbos. I couldn't speak Shal Shudas. I was hoping Kadosh Baruch will give me the help to speak this morning. We'll see how it goes. But very big kitzur on the parsha last week. I heard this var from Ephraim Goldberg. He quoted from the Chiddush HaRim. I couldn't exactly find it in the Chiddush HaRim. The Chiddush HaRim alludes to something along those lines, but it's a very important message. He points out the opening pasuk of Parshas VaYakel. Moshe gathers the Jewish people for a, so to say, state of assembly address. So to say, it's a type of a meeting. He gathers everyone together and he tells them what to do. La, so he's something to do it. So the Chiddush HaRim was bothered to do what? The next pasuk is what not to do. So the Chiddush HaRim explained the Torah was alluding to the fact that if you want to keep Jews unified, it takes asiyah. It takes work. Jewish unity does not happen naturally. We don't naturally come together. We don't naturally like each other. If we want to stay unified and stay together, it takes work. It takes effort. And which is so true today because we see as much as we're getting together because of the tragedy, there's already splinters of disagreement and dividing and things like that very easily to break through. So therefore, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, if you want to keep the Jewish people together, it's going to take work. It does not happen automatically. Naturally, we stay far away from each other. We disagree with each other. We fight with each other. It's only when we unify together to work. It takes effort to unify the Jewish people. And I thought that's Pshat in the Medrash. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu says that when I die, what's going to be with me? I'm not going to be remembered after I die. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't worry. We'll have the Parsha Shkalim. The Shkalim will be a reminder for you forever. What was Moshe Rabbeinu worried about? He left us Tiras Moshe. We'll always remember him. So I think the Pshat is that Moshe was worried about who's going to bring the Jewish people together after he's gone. Moshe was the unifier. He brought everyone together. He took care of all groups of people, all denominations. They all felt connected to him. Now that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die, who's going to keep them together? The answer is the Shkalim. Because what's the Shkalim? It's a half. A half reminds me I'm only half of something else. I'm a part of something bigger and something greater. So therefore, the Shkalim is the reminder of Klal Yisrael that we need to stay united, we need to stay connected, and we have to remember we're part of something bigger. It's not just us, we're part of something bigger and larger than ourselves, and therefore the Shkalim is very apropos to be Moshe Rabbeinu's legacy, because he, Moshe Rabbeinu, loved all Jews. He didn't say, I'm only helping this group, I'm only helping that group, I only care for this group. Moshe Rabbeinu loved everyone. So the way we remind ourselves Moshe Rabbeinu's selflessness is through the half a shkalim. Today is the yahrzeit of my paternal grandmother, my father's mother, Sheindel Bas Menachem Mendel. I never met her. She died before my parents were even married in a horrific car crash many years ago, the mid-1970s. My father was young. My aunt, my uncle, and aunt were young. She was not from a religious family. She was not religious. My father claims when she died, she couldn't even read Hebrew. She was not a religious woman. My grandfather was religious. And it's amazing to think what they had so many children and grandchildren and great grandchildren that are religious. I have a brother who's a Rish Kailo. My uncle's a very reputable Rav Am. Whatever I became, I don't know exactly. I'm still figuring myself out. But that lot of Baruch Hashem, a lot of children and grandchildren and great grandchildren, big Talmidei Chachamim, learning Torah, all religious. So you never know where things happen. I spoke about it on my podcast on Friday. If you listened, that Mesiras Nefesh of one generation ends up 3 generations later. When she was killed, she wasn't even knew how to read. She never imagined she'd have grandchildren and great grandchildren learning Torah and Kailo and Rabbeim and Rabban. She would have never imagined it in a million years. But she was Maaseh Nefesh to marry a religious man and raise religious children at a time when her family was not religious. They were even anti-religious, her parents and family. So it's an amazing thing to see how the Maaseh Nefesh that we put into our children now and our grandchildren, we don't know where it's going to take them. We never know. Every little bit that we do for our children and grandchildren, great grandchildren, can set them on a path. It would bring a lot of nachas to HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, so let's get into today's topic as best as we can. We left off last week. We saw a very interesting Gemara source number one. The Gemara told us a story again about Rav Dimi told us a story about Dama ben Nisina. Back to Dama ben Nisina. What was the story? He was wearing some form of gold clothing. He was sitting amongst the Roman dignitaries. His mother came. She ripped his clothing. She hit him on the head. She spit at him. And he never got embarrassed. He just sat there and he took it. So the Gemara seems to be telling us that we're supposed to learn from here that that's what you're supposed to do for Kibbutz of Aim. If your parent does that to you, you have to do the same. And that's what the Rambam paskins clearly in number 8. This is again, we saw this already last week, but the Rambam paskins Number eight, Ad Heichin, who Kibud Avim. Says the Rambam, how far does Kibud Avim go? I feel not like your Shazahav if your mother takes your golden money belt. Vishlichel before she throws it. Liyam into the ocean. Imagine you got the new iPhone 14, 15, whatever number they're up to. Your mother comes, she grabs it, throws it into ongoing traffic. Says the Rambam, V'lo yachli menu. You don't embarrass her. V'lo yitzar b'fneim. You don't get mad. V'lo yichas k'negdam. You don't cause her pain. You don't get upset. That takes a lot of self-restraint, right? Says the Rambam, you accept that this is the will of God and you keep quiet. You sit there stoic, motionless. You don't say anything, no rebuttals. You just keep quiet. Says the Rambam, how far does Moira go? You're wearing beautiful clothing. You're standing in front of the whole community. You're honored at a dinner. Can you imagine 300-400 people? You're sitting at the dais. Your mother comes. Can you imagine this guy sitting at the dais with a suit? His mother comes and rips his shirt. She smacks you. She knocks off your head, knocks off your yarmulke, pushes your glasses. And you're like, what? What did I do? And you don't embarrass her. Elo Yishtoi said, what do you do? Says the Rambam, you're quiet. And you should have fear of Hashem. Because this is all coming from Hashem, right? Yiras of the Imo is a commandment of Hashem. Let's say you'd have a human king that would make you do much more difficult things. You can do. Call Shekin God, who runs the world. This is his will. Just take it and be happy, so to say.
Eliminating the option of just walking away.
Very good. So I want to talk about that. Can we be somewhat, we have to just take it? Why do we have to just take it? I understand you can't yell and scream at her, but you can't call security. Can't have her locked out. So that's good. So Lena Eder, when we learn the sugya of Kibud and Moira, we're going to have to see this difference between the two. And the kasha we left off of last week on the Rambam was, why is the Rambam giving you this Musa sefer over here? Rambam gives you this Musa speech, just have in mind that you're doing it for Hashem and Hashem. Right? We find the other places the Rambam doesn't write. When you're dying, our Kiddush Hashem, you should have this in mind. He writes it only over here. It's very fascinating. I don't have a good pshat in the Rambam. I leave that for you to discuss. What's pshat in this Rambam? Why does the Rambam give you this whole backdrop, this Musa speech, and how to incentivize you to do it? The Rambam writes, you have to think about Hashem and realize Hashem is greater than a male's boss of Adam. But the problem that we have, Rabbi Say, is this Rambam is brought down the halacha in Shulchan Aruch number 4. Says the Mechaber, Ad Heichin Moiraam, how far does fearing your parents go? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ben Lovash Chamudos, if the child is wearing nice clothing, the Yoshe Behosh Alkohol, and he's sitting in the top of the community, he's sitting on top of a meeting. Because of his parents come and they rip his clothing, they call out Rosh and hit him on his head, before they spit. Lo yachli moisam, do not embarrass them. Instead, be quiet and fear Hashem. Shetzivuhu v'chavid. So it's basically the words of the Rambam. He cuts off the second half of the Rambam, where the Rambam gives it a whole Musa speech. But the first part of the Rambam, he does bring down. So Paskins and Shulchan Aruch, if your parents do this to you, you got to take it. Where's the Shulchan Aruch know this from? Yeah.
But also where the Shulchan Aruch is bringing on his mother and his father, the Gemara was only his mother.
Correct. But there's no reason to solution matter. You have to fear both of them. But the problem is, Rabbi Isai, Rama ben Nisino was a guy. If you remember.
We keep on using him as an example.
Right,
for
but
us.
Remember we had Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Toises pointed out that the mother wasn't stable. It sounds like it's only if the mother's not stable I have to put up with this. Shulchan Aruch sounds like even if your mother's normal. Now, she can't be that normal if she's doing this to you. But what happened to that Yaakov Emden? Tosfos told us that the case of the Gemara was when the mother wasn't stable. And one of the pshatim we said was because only an unstable mother would you have to go through this. But the Shulchan Aruch brings it down stamazay. Any mother that comes over to her son and acts inappropriately, you have to take it.
Would somebody who's acting like that necessarily be embarrassed? He says, I can state, I don't know.
This is a hard mental question. If anyone who does this, are they technically mentally stable? I don't know. And crazy people get very upset. They get angry. They act out. They do funny things.
She's upset about the money.
Right, she's upset about something.
About the money.
So clearly, I don't know if she'd be caught labeled, legally unstable, but she definitely is acting inappropriately. So the Shach points out something interesting. He says, first of all, what happens after the story's over? The kid sits there. His mother takes his iPhone, throws it into the ocean, takes his fancy watch, steps on it. Now he's out, I don't know, $5,000, right? Can he take her to Besdin? Is there something wrong with taking your parents to court? I'm sure you never came across this in your line of work. Can you sue your parents? Pastish, okay. That's because you never lost that kind of money, maybe. Not that I did either, but I'm just saying. If your parents caused you a large hefset, are you allowed to sue them? So the Shaykh says 100%.
But whose money? Like, this is
no money.
But as a godel?
Yeah, this is an adult. My parents come in, they get mad at me for whatever they do. Let's say your parents are mad at you, they slash your tires, they break your car. I don't know. Can you take them to court? Says the Shaykh, yes, you could. Says the Shaykh, me, you can take them to court. Because you have said they're like anyone else.
Why is that going to be less of a group?
They're not above the law.
I'm saying what's the difference?
That's the Chiddush you say. That's Mutter.
Not
Mutter Bedin. Kamon Siv Gimel Siv Ches Bagos. I'm sorry, Seth. What's up?
Didn't the Taz take the Shach to Besdin?
Yes, they had a very messy story. That was not Bush, it's correct. That's true. But over the rights to Prince Farm, that was very messy. But Zog the Shach, no, take him to court. He stole from you. He was mazik. You could take him to court. I did see an Aruch HaShulchan that says maybe don't take your mother to court. Because putting a lady on trial, it's not so, it's not so serious. We're supposed to be more kokfud basmel. Take him to court. That's past. Take your dad to court. Do you understand? He broke your thing. Take him to court. So you have Aloch and Shulchanach. You're allowed to take him to court. So that's not a preaching thing, but that's part of the way the world was structured. If someone's mazik you, you have the right to demand the money. Again, this is a question of acting up. Screaming, you know, going to court is not screaming and yelling at him. Going to court is a system put in by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are allowed to have rules and regulations. So if my father or mother breaks the rules, I can sue them. Again,
parents could take me to court too.
They could do that also, sure. I agree. Again, I think in the secular world, they have no problem taking the parents to court.
Germany can take parents to court if they want to let them go to college. Parents they know they go to work, you take them to court and they pay a fee.
Okay, there you go.
Until age 22, they're obligated to
support. That's it. Okay. So I think that's a chiddush of the Shach, that you can take them to court. But the Marshal is bothered with another question. Why you allowed your parents to do this? I don't understand. Your father, your mother comes over to you, she starts ripping you because of them. Why you allow her to do this? So he writes, number 11. We're talking about a case where you couldn't have stopped her. We're talking post-fact, already happened. Right? She walks in, she attacks you, you don't stop. But says the Mashal, if you see this happening, you should stop it. Don't allow this to play out. He says, the Marshal has two kashas. He says, why do we allow this to happen? Stop her. Stop her from coming in. Says the Marshal, you definitely could stop her from coming in. You definitely could. You could put a security guard in front of the room and saying, Mom, I'm sorry, this is a private meeting. But talking about she already came in. She broke through. She doesn't care. So now that she's already here, to throw her out would be embarrassing. But to prevent it, that's 100% mut. I'll befriend the Marshal another kasha. How am I allowed to allow my mother to do an issur? She's ripping my clothing, that's mazik. She's hurting me, that's chavola. Why am I allowing her to do this? Why am I allowing this behavior? So Yaakov Emden answered based on Tosfos, because this lady was not 100%. But if we're talking about a regular Jewish woman, like the Shulchan Aruch writes, why do you take that sitting? Shouldn't you prevent her from being a mazik, from being a damager, from
you
being
a responsibility for regular? You see somebody being mazik, somebody else is tired. You have to stop them.
If
you don't have to stop them, why do you have to stop your mother?
Because you care more about your mother. You don't want her being a sinner.
No.
I mean, these are all
you.
I say these are all our favorites.
You started doing it.
Yeah, that's
what probably should. You probably should do that.
I started doing it to somebody else.
Probably should do that also. But the fact of Mashal, why would you not stop your mother? So he says a chiddush. He says no. The mother has a good reason for doing it. I need musa. I didn't behave. I didn't make my bed that morning. My mother's coming to punish me for not making my bed. That's how he learns the Shulchan Aruch. The case in the Shulchan Aruch wasn't a kid who was out of nowhere. His mother comes in. His mother was intending to give him a musar, a shtickle rebuke for whatever he was doing wrong.
You don't need to stop them this by hitting them. You cannot do that.
No, you can't. That's not going to be much. He says it has to be that mom wasn't coming from left field. Mom had some justification for this. Why, says the Marshal? If not, she's a Russian. And if she's a Rasha, what? There's no chiv to mechaber her, according to the machlokes mechaber Ramah that we brought in last week. So therefore, says the Marshal, you have to make an akimta the mechaber. When the mechaber says this case, he's not talking about a mother who's just mad at the world. She's trying to give musa to her son. It's a big akimta. Doesn't say that in the mechaber that we have. But if you don't say that, time is the Marshal, you have a Yaakov and then kasha. If the mother's a Rasha because she's hurting people and she's breaking things and she's a ganav and a mazik, I don't have to be mechaber her anymore.
She a Russia, you know, like
right. So the Marsha, so we got her.
There's three categories, right? She's crazy, she doesn't know what she's doing.
Right, so she's not
a Russia. She's doing it because she's
right.
Mean. Or she's doing it for a reason.
Right, that's Marsha's point.
You're yeah.
And then she becomes a Russia, right?
That means you're allowed to kill her.
I don't remember the sugya over there. It's a good question. I don't remember. I would assume so. I don't know. You have to.
Only if she's going to you on
if she's going to try to get you, yeah. Okay. So if you take a look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he points out the same thing. He says, V'yir Ali, the K'moy she'iz bar b'zarek arnik iliyam, she'kishiyachol imnoyam mikoydim shleyasakein rashoy. Just like we learned with the sugya, we're throwing your money into the ocean. You're allowed to prevent her. Hachanami, bekan kishayochol imnoyam mikoydim, and you could prevent her before. Shleyasakein, kigayin sha'acherim le'yanichum likhanis l'malkim. Get security at the door. No one else can come in. He says it has to be shalom b'derech b'zayin. It's a little tricky. You put a security guard at the door. Everyone comes in. Everyone comes in. Mom, you can't come. That's already derech b'zayin. So I don't know how you do it. You know how you set it up in a way that only certain people are allowed in. But Zakhtar Hashocha with the Yamshul Shlomo, you could prevent it. But once it happens, then you're stuck. Once mom breaks through the door and she's in a rage, you got to just take it and you have to, again, take her to court later. You just have to sit there stoic.
When
take
you sit there
and do it, yeah.
What's happening is that she becomes a bizion to everybody. There's a lot of crazy mother.
So that's a good question.
So maybe you stop her so that people don't talk about her.
That's a good question. We're going to have to talk about that. When parents act inappropriately, how does a child react? We'll have to get to that. Unfortunately, it happens a lot. On parents' dementia and other things, we'll have to get to that. Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, actually, we'll have to get to it.
So your mother starts charging you, right? Other people stop her,
right?
Right. You don't tell them to do it. Right. So they just naturally see what's about to happen and they stop her. You have to tell them to let.
No, I think that's a part of what Halacha Shulchan means. If you can prevent this from happening, that's okay. I think that's not derech b'zayin. Someone stops her. That's normal. If you see one other person attack another person, you stop them. I would think that's okay. Yeah.
No, but you're not saying anything about your mother.
Yeah, but you're not. You don't have to take the abuse once it already happens. But here, you can prevent that. I'm not doing that. That guy sees it and he gets along.
Or they pull their pulling.
Right, off yeah, of yeah. I think that's fine. But, yeah, that's fine. I think that's okay.
You don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Your mother's attacking you.
All right.
And you're allowed to fight back.
Again, you're not allowed to hit her unless you feel that your life is in danger. Again, it didn't sound like over here was very violent. It didn't sound like she was physical. Right. This was just because she was annoying. It's not necessarily because she was a violent. Okay. Let's go to and see another Gemara. Let's take a look back on the source number one. Says the Gemara. Last line in source number one. Toni Avimi Rei Debavu. Yesh Macha Lo'aviv Pisyoinoi. A person can serve his father Pisyoinoi. The Tardom in Oilam. What does that mean? Like Rashi number 13. Pisyonai oif choshev. You could serve your father a choshev of a chicken. Today we'd call that steak, but choshev chicken steak, right? The shaman min, the shemin min, the shaman, it's fat. Min slav. It was like a type of slav, shiyar ben midbar, that fell in the midbar. You serve your father a geshmaka steak, but the Tardom in Oilam. Like Rashi, shenena shalom. You're going to get punished for it. Why? Shemara loit saras ayin al sudosi. You show how difficult this meal is. You spend the whole time kvetching how expensive the steak was, how much time it took to prep the steak, how you had to shop to buy the steak. You give a whole drasha. So that's a very fancy steak, but it's not worth much because you gave it in such a way that was, not coming from a loving place. However, says the Gemara, v'yesh mitchanu berechayim, but sometimes you can grind the flour. And you can bring your father to Olam Haba. Sometimes you do a small thing, not very chashiv, but when done with love and caring and compassion, that's your ticket to Olam Haba. So it's not so much how much money you spend, it's how you do it. It's all about the presentation, the feeling, the emotions, not so much about, look how much I spent, look how much money it cost or didn't cost me. If you take a look in Tosfos, one of these Tosfos in that I don't think anyone would think about. Tosfos says, what does it mean, Pisyonai? Number 14 says, Tosfos, Pirish, Oif Choshev. It's a Choshev, a bird, Behainu min Slav, Sheyesh b'midbar. And it was a type of Slav that we had in the desert.
Happy Brian.
Ah, Frank David, what's Tosfos adding? What's Tosfos adding more than Rashi? So if you write over here, number 15, I found the Sefer Beis Yehuda. He says, no, Tosfos is different than Rashi. How is Tosfos different than Rashi? It's the same words. He says, no. Nearer the Chachi, Tosfos b'zeh yosemi Rashi. Tosfos taught us more than Rashi. To Rashi, Pirishi yorad b'midbar. Rashi said it fell in the desert. The haslov lo yorad min hashemayim. It's not true. The slav did not fall heavenly. It came from the water. So you can't say it fell. Fell connotates from the heaven. And then fall from the heaven. It came from the water. The Lashon Yerid Mashma Mishamayim. Kimoi the man. Ulahachi Pirushai Min Slav Shreyesh B'midbar Ba'ifim Shaloi Ba Min Hayam. He says, no, Faket. We had it in the desert. Not that it fell from the heaven. It was in the desert. However we got it. So the difference in Rashi and Tosfos is, where did the slav originate from? Did the slav first come from Shemayim? Or did the slav first find itself on the ground? Okay, nothing too major, but an interesting machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Let's come on to the next gemara, number 16. Amar Rav Avol. Now here we're going back to a Jew. Now we're going to talk about a Jewish kid's kibbutz of Eid. Amar Rav Avol ki gan avimi bri. Avimi is talking about his own son. Nothing like shepping Yiddish and nachad about your own kid. So he says, avimi, my son, kaim is his kibbutz. He was mekayim kibbutz of Eid to the highest level. Why? Chamisha b'nei simchi avim. He had five sons that were samchei. So there's machlokes how to learn this. Either it means he had five sons who had smicha, had five sons that had rabbinic ordination, or he had five sons that were samech al shulchan aviv, which means he had five sons that lived in his house that he supported. Huh? Very good. The difference is one can say he's a rabbi. That's the difference. Okay, very good. So says the Gemara, so what does that have to do with anything? Havilei l'avimi b'chai aviv. Avimi, my son, had five sons that were either scholars or they lived at home. When Rav Avohu would come to visit, the Zayde would come, he would knock on the door. The son would run to the door. In. He'd say, yes, Dad, I'm coming. Until he got to the door. So why is this a Chiddush? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, he had five kids. You get the door. I don't have to get the door for my father. Echo sent one of the kids to the door. Says the Gemara, Avimi did it himself. So if you hold that smichi means they were talmidei chachamim, the Marsha says that's a chiddush. They knew that they're supposed to honor their grandfather.
They should have ran first.
So Avimi had to outrun his kids. I guess Avimi was in better shape than his kids. He was able to outrun them. And if the Seimach al Shulchan Aviv, so then the chiddush is that even though the father basically could tell him, listen, I support you, go help your grandfather. Still, the father did himself. Avimi went himself instead of dishing it out. Oh, good. That's a good shiloh. I mean, the question is the other way. What happened to chinuch? And this is always the question we have. If there's three generations home, grandfather, father, and son, and the grandfather asks for something, so should the son do it? Or should the mechanech his son to do it? So we have this by Avram Avinu. Rashi says, anything that he sent Yishmael to do, Klal Yisrael gets paid back by the Shliach. So Moshe Feinstein deals with this kasha in Chumash. What happened to Chinuch? So Moshe says there's a balance between Chinuch and teaching your kids by action, right? But you doing it yourself. So here also, first of all, because them doing it is also Chinuch. I tell them, listen, no one do.
No better thing up than showing your children that you're getting up out of your chair.
That's true.
Right, so you hope that your children will do
that's
it
not
one
true.
Day.
Let's say if I lulav, I don't just show my kid how to shake lulav. I have him shake the lulav also. So it's not just watching, it's both. So either way, but that's not the godless of the story. The godless of the story is the next line. Yoimachar, one day, Amalei Ashken Maya. One day, Rav Avohu asks his son Avimi for a cup of water. Adosilei Nimnim. Right? By the time he brings him the cup of water, he fell asleep. Happens sometimes as we get older, we doze off quicker than we'd like to. So he asks him for a cup of water. Again, we're not talking about the water's in the fridge, right?
Well.
So by the time he comes back, his father falls asleep. So what does he do now? My father asked for a cup of water. So I would have just put the cup of water down, walked away. That's why I'm not Avimi. So what did Avimi do? Says the Gemara, Nimnim kochin ka'aleh. He stood there, hunched over his father, Adi Itayr. Until his father woke up. Istahi milso v'dorish avimi mizma losif. And he got such a siyata nishmar that while he was waiting for his father to wake up, he figured out pshat and a pasuk can tell. Okay. What does that have to do with anything? Like Rashi. But oida gochen the fun of, while he was like bent over, shahovin b'medrish mizmar echad should be safe to tell him. He figured out pshat and a pasuk can tell him. Which he couldn't know pshat before. He had a shver pshat and a pasuk and tell him, and now he figured it out. So pasuk pshat, you learn it's like a skula. But since he was so metapa with his father, he got a special siyata d'shmaya to figure out pshat in a pasuk and tell him. Now which pasuk and tell him? So if this would be a brisker, he'd say, "Oh, now he figured out pshat in the rabbah." Okay, but what's what pasuk and tell him? So take a look in Rashi on the next page. Zog Rashi. This is a special drasha he came up with. What's the drasha? Mizma la'asaf elikim bo goyim ben achlasecha. Of course, we know this pasuk. It says in Tehillim. What's this pasuk talking about? When the goyim took over and destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. So, frek takasha kino la'osif miboyile. Why does it say mizma la'asaf? We're saying mizma kind of to a song, a praise. This is all about the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. It should be called a kino, lamentation, not a mizmor. Mizmar is a upbeat, positive song. Why is it a kina? V'dorish kach she'oma osaf she'yira al shekila kodesh baruch chamotze be'etzim avonim she'beisek. The reason why it's a shira is because kodesh baruch Hu took out his anger on the etzim avonim u'mitoich kach chosir pleite b'Yisrael. And that's why we, the Jewish nation, survive. Because he could have took out his anger on us and we wouldn't still be around today. She'el mole kach lo nishtayim b'soin Yisrael tzrit. If not for that, we'd never be around. We'd all be destroyed. This is famously quoted all throughout Tisha B'Av. Hashem took his anger out on the walls and the stones instead of his anger out on us. What's the obvious kasha? What's the connection? Why, because he was helping his father, did he get this epiphany of pshat in this pasuk? You think he should find the pasuk that talks about Kibbutz Avim, the pasuk that talks about the Chol Beis Hamikdash? What exactly is the pshat? Okay, so let's see if we can come up with a different shot. If you take a look in Taisvis over there, Taisvis has a different shot. Taisvis writes, Achiesh b'medrish she'osaf omar shira al shetiva be'eretz she'arel. Osaf saying a shira on the fact that it was drowning. Moshul l'shivcho she'hocho l'shevmaim. It's a beautiful moshul. You have a shivcho who goes to draw water from the well. Min ha'be'er. V'nofo kada l'be'er. And her little jug falls into the well. She was upset. She's sitting there, no one's ever going to get my little $2 cup out of the well. It's not worth it. Then all of a sudden, the king's attendant comes and wants to get water out of the well. But Nafal Isaac Lisham, his Chila Harishain Lishayri of Omra, Arachshav Yisi Svura, Shiyot Shemodim Kdeshi Shacharis Minaber, Shain and Nechshav. And then the person that was drawing water for the king, his cup also fell in. So now they got to get the fancy cup out. So once they're taking the fancy cup out, they'll take my cup out also. That was the mashal. That was the story. Now what does that have to do with us? It says Taisvis, Kach b'nei Kairach. So to the children of Kairach, Shoy b'luim, they were swallowed up. Kishero shetove be'eretz she'areho. When they saw that the Jewish people were drowned, Amru Shira, they sang a Shira. Amru, they said, Mishi Yoitzi Asharin. Those that are going to take the gates out, the gates of the Beis Hamikdash, I'm going to come back up one day. Yoitzi Egam Oisonu, they'll also take us up. Meaning, we, B'nai Kairach, we don't deserve to be taken out. But once they're taking out the gates of the Beis Hamikdash, they'll slap us agav. The Kach Omer Osaf, Mizma Shuhum Mishpachas Kairach. And that's why Osaf sang this song, because he was the family of Kairach. So he was saying, Baruch Hashem, my Alta Zayd is in Babas, the B'nai Kairach. Will eventually get taken up as well. So the Rashash has a very technical kash on this Taisus. He says, "Tarachin, the Hagsir b'nei Kairach leMesu. What do we mean b'nei Kairach? B'nei Kairach didn't die; they didn't get swallowed up. What's Taisus talking about?" Taisus says that the b'nei Kairach that got swallowed up into the ground, they're going to come up also. I thought they didn't die. It says b'nei Kairach leMesu. Pasuk l'chomish. Ubetana de Beliyahu sham hagirsa l'nochin ayin sham. He says, if you look in the girsa over there, it's a different girsa. What's the girsa? V'chein loshin haridva b'shem Yerushalmi meduyik ba, aval matzosi b'Yerushalmi shlefneinu. What's the better girsa? Not b'nei Kairach, but rather the better girsa is the Kairach himself. not the children of Korach, but Korach himself. And Asaf was an Ainah called Korach. So he was saying that my Alta Zayda will eventually get pulled up as well.
That's why Shash doesn't give you the proper gear, so he alludes to it.
Right. He says, look in the
Rizvah.
So he says, and therefore it's not referring to Bnei Korach, rather it's referring to Korach himself. Oh, so it's not so partial. Some learn Bnei Korach by Mesu, not as literally as that. But that's the answer to Rosh Hashanah Kashi. Yeah, if you take a look. Right, so if you look in the Ritva over there in Kedushin, the footnote, he points out that there's a way out of the Rosh Hashanah Kash, 100%. Now, still, let's say it's this possible. Does this have anything to do with what this Rebbe Avimi did? So now we're a little better off. Why? Says the Marsha, the Fiat Toisvis Nich. According to Toisvis's Pshat, now it makes a little better. Why did he get the Das to say this Pshat? Mishum de Kaim Avimi, Mrs. Kibra Veim. Because Avimi was busy doing Kibra Veim. And Asaf was saying about his great grandfather. So we're like family related type of stuff. The Zaychel Achdrasha Shadara Shadomar Asaf Mizmar, Mishum covered Beis Avosav. He was referring to the honor for the family honor. Habaluyim Shialu Im Ashar. So when I saw this Mashar, it made me think, okay, good. So according to the Pshat of Taisvis, there's a little Shaykhis. Why? Because what was Avimi doing? Showing respect for his father. What was Asaf saying? He was trying to acknowledge that his grandfather, great grandfather, will eventually get out of the. There's a connection between respect for the previous generations. But if you hold like Rashi, it's mamish no shaykhs. According to Rashi, Avimi was being moise nefesh to stand over his father's bed waiting for him.
And he says that there, the right?
I didn't even think of that. Maybe it's the water connection. Could be. But according to Rashi's chat,
why would he get up?
Right, I'm saying. That the Be'er is only half the equation. But according to Rashi, that it has to do with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What does the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash have to do with waiting by your father's bedside for him to wake up? No shaykh. Saitaka found in the Sefer Shmur's Kedushin, he brings down a pshat over here from Osher Kalman Baron. Hashem Yinkam Doma, he obviously didn't survive the war. He was a Ram in the Panovich Yeshiva in Litva before the Holocaust. So it's a beautiful idea. Mom, it's a beautiful idea. He says like this. He says it beautifully. He says, if you go back to two Gemaras we had so far, we had two Gemaras that contrasted what do you do for Kibbut Avei? We have Dama Ben Asina, and we have this story. What did Dama Ben Asina get as a reward? Paraduma, big bucks. He says, the Dama Ben Asina kibos char al Kibbut Avei, shishim riboy. It was a money reward. It was an unbelievable amount of money reward for doing a mitzvah. What was Avimi's big reward for being Moshe Nefesh Kibbut Avim? Figured out Pshat Apostle in the hell. So who gained more? He says, it's beautiful. After Avimi came Kibbut Avim, Bishleimus become Vasei. He did everything he's supposed to do. Shanisha La Amoid. He's standing there, mamash with a bottle of water waiting for his father to wake up. And all Dhamma did was passive, right? Dhamma didn't wake up his father. Who got a bigger reward? Avimi. Because the money runs out. A few generations later, they'll forget that Dhamma Medicina was very wealthy. We still talk about this every Tisha B'Av. We reference this idea of Eitz Mavonim. Says this Rabbi Brown, this is the contrast. Dama ben Asina got a money. Money comes and goes. But the ability to make a drasha that's going to stay in the world of Torah forever is a much bigger reward. That's Pshat in the Gemara. It's contrasting the reward versus Dama ben Asina. And that's the difference between fleeing reward, comes and goes, and something that's going to last forever. Very beautiful. Doesn't answer Akasha stuff. What was Akasha? What does that have to do with keeping up? Hey, so he says, no, Even though Hashem took out his wrath on the building, you can't call it a mizmor. We lost the Shechina. Yeah, so we didn't lose as bad as we could have, but we still lost. We lost the Shechina. So why would it be called a mizmor? He says, "Elokivin sh'omru Chazal b'shas she'mechabed adam ov v'imoy Hakadosh Baruch Hu ma'ale ani aleihem kilu dariti b'neim v'tzabduni." He said, "Because we can all bring the Shechina back. Anytime you honor your parents, you just brought the Shechina. So the Shechina's disappearance is not really disappearing because it can be brought back anytime you honor your parents." And since Avimi was so good at honoring his parents, he brought back the Shechina. That's why you can call it a Mizmor L'Asaf. It's like a beautiful. Why is it a Mizmor L'Asaf? Because we didn't lose that ability to bring Hashem back. Every time we honor our parents, we bring Hashem back. So the only thing the Beis HaMikdash was Eitzim Avonim. And that Eitzim Avonim was a bracha. So it would have been us instead of the Eitzim Avonim. Because the Gemara says that anytime you mechabit your parents, you bring the Ashwas Hashim. So that's very beautiful. So therefore, no, that's the second shot. We're working in Rashi's shot.
I'm saying, but it also, they were swallowed up, but they didn't really die. They really didn't grow up back.
Right, and therefore?
Same thing. It never really goes away.
That's in Tosfos, right? Yeah. This was in Rashi, right? If you take a look over in number 24, in the beautiful Isaac Chodor, he writes like this. The Eitzim Avonim was the physical part of the Beis HaMikdash. Then there was the spiritual part of the Beis HaMikdash. He says, Taka, what are we mourning over? When we talk about mourning the Beis HaMikdash, what did we lose? We lost the outside structure, lost the building. It's similar to the mourning of a dead person. The neshama doesn't die. What are we mourning when someone dies? Think about it. What are we mourning? The neshama lives in the next world. And it has a much better time in the next world. Someone once called me. He said, I don't understand. Why should we be sad when someone dies? They're in a better place. They're happier. Why should we cry? The answer is, but we're not in a better place. We miss them. We're humans. We have emotions. And we miss them. They're attacking a better place. There's no question. They finished their tafkid. They did what they were supposed to do. And now they're in a better place. 100%. So we're mourning the fact that we miss them. We like being around them. We like the impact they had on us, and we miss them. So he says the whole idea of avilus is really very physical. It's on the physical body and their, you know, personality and whatever they gave to us is what we miss. Neshama's going up to better places, bigger and better. Aval ikra avilus hu ala guf. Real avilus is on the body. Shudav yok. It's not an important thing. The body, the physical body that we have. It was a place for to house the neshama. He says, same thing with kibud avim. Why? And we know there's three parts, partners in the person. Meaning he goes the other way. Why do I have to honor my parents? They're just a body. They're just a physical body. Why do they get any honor? He says, no. We look at the body as also something important because of the whole, it houses something important. It's a base keeper for something important. Just like the base of Mikdash that housed something important. So he says, now everything is very beautiful. He says, just like the base of Mikdash will one day be rebuilt, the dead will eventually be. We brought back to life also. So there's a lot of parallels, says Rabbi Yisrael Zichover, between death and between the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, that's pshat by us. While he was hunched over his father, he was thinking about kibud avim. Maisa dibo machshava. You got to think when you do maisa. Because he was thinking about kibud avim, he got this epiphany about how to understand the chol b'meis hamikdash. Hashem took out his anger on the body of the beis hamikdash, but the neshama that went up, and that was for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Just like when someone dies, it's l'tevasai, and still we have to treat his body, and that's trying to keep it avim. The reason why I have to honor my parents, even though my parents is just a physical body, is because we believe very much in the physical body that it has something special and something important. Okay, a little bit more Trushy and Popol over here. I found an interesting kasha from Rabbi Shaya Pick. Rabbi Shaya Pick has a kasha. He says, what do we know about Avimi in the Gemara? Who was Avimi? Was he a big top, big time chacham? Was he not? So he says something very interesting. He says, "Kasu Rashi v'Tosfos, v'yesh b'farshim shemikra hazel levadosh." This was the only drasha that we have from Avimi. The only drasha we have from Avimi was when Avimi was laying over his father, waiting for his father to get better, and he gave us his drasha about Eitzim Avon. So he says, "V'lo yadati pirushim." I don't know what they mean. Ema kavona shaloi hoya Avimi bal teiro. Does that mean that he wasn't big time chacham? Did that mean to say that this is the only time he gave any Torah to Klal Yisrael? He really wasn't a big scholar. He wasn't a Talmud Chacham. He got lucky once. He was doing a mitzvah, b'schar mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this pshat in the Pasuk Tehillim. He says, I don't like that pshat. He says, kosher. The matzinu shayigavu b'Torah. It's not true. We know Avim was a big Talmud Chacham. Ayin gittin chavtes. Omalei rabbanu l'avimi. Now this is before you have computers, right? He's just rattling off Gemara, but we see Avimi's name appears in a way of respect. And he calls a bunch of Gemaras. Now, so he doesn't know what those Mefarshim mean when they say that this was his only drasha. What do you mean this was his only drasha? Meaning, it can't mean he was an ignoramus who got lucky once and came up with a big chiddush. It must mean this is the only drasha that we have, but Avad, he was a Talmud Chacham, he was a Torah scholar, respectable person. Now he'll ask me, why do I bring this up? Because the Sefer HaMachne has a catch. Sefer HaMachne has a kasha. He says, I don't understand Avimi. What gave Avimi the right to stand by his father's bed? He's got to call him Torah.
He was learning. He was learning.
Maybe
he's gone over Shas in his head.
So this is the time you have to think about. Does the mitzvah end the moment that it's not shaykh to do? My father asked me for a cup of water. Now the father's not here. So what am I supposed to do? Wait till he wakes up and bring him a cup of water. Avimi felt not like that. Avimi felt, no, you have to wait until he wakes up. So, Frank the Machne, why don't you go learn?
I never understood the premise of the question. Why was it a bigger mitzvah to wait there for him to wake up so you could hand it to them rather than just leaving? You know, you told us to bring me a glass of water.
I'm with you.
I didn't say pour it down the road. Make the water available for me. And then I'm
right, I agree. That's why
what's the big deal? I didn't even do it.
I think Mara's assuming
it's
that.
Even annoying to have
what does the snake bus advice?
Right. Yeah, it's weird. I would have thought you'd bring the bottle of water. But if I is better, leave it. The whole
mitzvah is done, right?
He assumes like the mitzvah is giving him the water, not just, you know, having the water available.
Maybe there's
I'm got the water.
They cover it. Put a cap on it.
No, but there is some, you know, for his father to see some do it.
Ah, that could also be true.
There's a fair snake with a
put down on it. Put a cover on it. We got that.
Oh, sorry.
So this is the kasha. So Frank the Sefer HaMachne, number 26. Here's the virus. Shum Navi Koshule. Avimi himself was struggling. Masha Bito Torah Mishum Kibra Aveim. Was it right to stop learning from Kibra Aveim? Harmina Mesef Megillah Gavra Talmud Torah Yosem Kibra Aveim. Kediav Hasem Yaakov. Shleinene Shashin Shil Shudal Shana Beveis Eivu. I don't understand. Who said Avimi would have went to learn? This is all assuming Avimi, if he's not standing by his father, he's learning. Well, if he's not a Talmud Chacham, everything else, I don't know. That's why I don't have this pshat, that if Shaya Pick brings down a pshat, that he wasn't a Talmud Chacham. If he wasn't a Talmud Chacham, then he said, I'm not a Kasha, not a Kasha.
But he was learning.
I mean, I guess he could have learned more, you know, in a base measure setting than standing by his father.
If you hold that when he was waiting there, say he was Isaac in the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim, says Isaac mitzvahs put them in a mitzvah. You have shalak in the name.
It's a good kasha. Unless you hold. Isaac with mitzvah put them in a mitzvah is not so posh when it comes to Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, the Gemara in Sait, says it's a different rule. It's whether an Efshal lasses a dehem. Could someone else do it? So I don't know if Avimi had siblings. He had five sons that could have helped him. So technically, if someone else could have done it, he's put. Talmud Torah is the highest love.
The mitzvah wasn't over until his father woke up. Though.
That's another shaila. You can clear when's the mitzvah officially end over here.
Rosh Hashanah, this week's pasha, talks about he did late. So he says that the halacha is al yedei achirim. It's not that it could be done al yedei achirim, but you know that it's going to be done al yedei achirim. So you have to make sure it's going to be done. Then you could sit in Talmud Torah, but if
that's
not,
the, right.
Even though it's what else could do, you're not sure they're going
to
do it.
So I guess
Talmud Torah is to do.
That is true. That's what the Samar Rebbe said. The Samar Rebbe was a very big having his chassidim go collecting for other people. So once two guys were learning, and the Sam Rebbe said, go collect. So they said to the Rebbe, we're learning. The Rebbe said, that's why you learn, to be a better person, to do chesed. I the Gemara in Saita. I guess there's Sam Rebbe held, there's no one else that could have done it. Okay, I don't know. But that's what Sam Rebbe told them, 100%. So what do we do with the Sefer HaMakne? So Frank, the Sefer HaMakne, should you stop learning for Kibbutz Avim? Now we know Yankov, that was, he didn't get in trouble for it. So the Machna comes up with a Gewaltig Chutz. The Machna says, El Sheish Chiluk Lechalik, El Sheish Lechalik, Ben Kibud Lemoire. Aviminu, he couldn't leave. Aviminu, he can't go back to Beis Medrash. Why not? I thought Talmud Torah is Doicha Kibud Aveim. Harai Yaakov Avinu for 14 years when he was learning, had never got in trouble for Kibud Aveim. Says the Machna, Gewaltig Chutz, there's a difference between Kibud and Moire. What's the difference? So he says a chiddush. He says, whenever your father asks you for something, it already now becomes moira. Moira means you can't say no. You can't argue. You can't contradict. So if your father says, bring me a cup of water, you can't not bring him a cup of water, because that would be a violation of yiras off. So what does it mean, covered? Covered means you offer. I offered my father a cup of drink, cup of water, that's covered. Says the Sefer HaMakne, Yaakov Avinu was away for 14 years. He couldn't do covered. It was impossible. Right? He couldn't do covered. He couldn't do Yira, because you can't ask someone who's not around to do something. So therefore says the Sefer HaMakne, by Yaakov Avinu, he never violated Yira. He only violated Kovet. So Kovet, Taka, Torah beats out Kovet. But Torah does not beat out Yira. Which means if, let's say, for example, your father calls you up while you're learning, and he says, I want a cup of water, you got to get him a cup of water, even in the middle of learning. That's why Avimi didn't leave. No, I say that's a chiddush. The chiddush is that we learn from Yaakov Avinu that even though Yaakov Avinu didn't get in trouble for learning, that's because Yaakov Avinu didn't have yira; he only had kavod. Yira is stronger than kavod, so therefore says the Sefer HaMakne, since yira is stronger than kavod, that's why once your father already asks you, then this is a very big chiddush. According to the Sefer HaMakne, once he asks you, it switches over from kavod to yira.
Why is yira stronger than the mitzvahs? Kavod is
the two separate mitzvahs.
No, but
we have no riot from Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu, that was allowed to learn for 14 years, was because he was doing a different type of mitzvah. He was doing covet. We were doing yira. So says the Sefer HaMakne, yira is different than covet. So it should come out. According to the Sefer HaMakne, if your father asks you for something, once the moment he asks you, now not giving it to him would be yira, not covet. That's a big chiddush. That's a very big chiddush. We always assume anything that I'm doing. I mean, I'm not contradicting him. I'm not arguing with him. I'm just not bringing him his cup of water. He says, if he asks you for something, you have to do it. If you don't do it, it's here. Now, over here, he did bring it to him. He brought him the cup. The answer, that wasn't the mitzvah. The mitzvah wasn't just bringing it to him. It was, you know, giving it to him directly or feeding him, whatever. So therefore, says the Sefer HaMakne, that shot over here, that the Avimi was mesupik. Should I go back to yeshiva? Should I stay here? And then he said, Ava Yaakov Avinu went back to learn. That's because Yaakov Avinu wasn't here. Yaakov Avinu was covered. And covered is different than here. That's a chiddush and Sefer HaMakne.
In all our prior discussions, when we've been talking about,
we haven't made that distinction.
We haven't made that.
Yeah, distinction. That's what we're going to have to see when we go on. We'll see B'nai Nechel after Purim. We'll see that this has serious halakhic ramifications. If this is correct, right? If this assumption is correct, that there's a deficiency coming here, it's going to have major halakhic ramifications as we go through. You got to keep this in mind. That every single time your parent asks you for something, if you don't give it to them, you violated yira, not just kibbutz. As I have to say for HaMakne.
Why did they just say so, Chad, that the father needed help drink? You know, there was no fault.
There you go.
Get me a glass of water.
Like, his arms didn't work.
Very good.
Leaving it for him and walking away, he wouldn't be able to do it.
That's a good job.
Don't work.
I think that's a good job. Yeah, I like that 100%. Okay. We finished the Shiva, Rabbi Say. Okay, a little early. I apologize. Okay, Rabbi Say, Mitzvah next Sunday, we're going to be discussing. In Yoni Purim, we're going to be discussing the Shiloh of understanding Matonis Lev Yoinim. So I know Michael's going to jump on me that we did this in 2017. Okay, we did.
He remembers.
We're going to do it differently this year. This time we'll do it a little differently. So believe that the next Sunday, hopefully we'll have a better voice. We'll discuss the Lumbus of Matonis Lev Yoinim. Okay.
Thank you, Rebbe.